Even as China's demand for iron ore and coal to make steel boosts Australia's commodity export prices, Chinese companies are cutting back their investment here in Australia. With Australia's mines already built, China's investment in that sector is falling. And with interest in property also down, Chinese investors are turning their attention to Australia's health and biotechnology sectors. Michael Leander is our regular Monday finance commentator. Michael, welcome back to Breakfast.
Morning, Fran.
A new study from KPMG and the University of Sydney shows Chinese investment in Australia fell last year. How big was that drop, Michael, and why are the Chinese companies pulling out?
Look, it was a very large fall, Fran, a 36.3% decline.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, compared to 2017. Still $8.2 billion of investment coming into the country from China last year, but that's the second lowest total since 2008. Now, interestingly, the survey results show Chinese companies are still positive about Australia and perhaps surprisingly reported an improved political climate despite things like the Huawei 5G ban and some other prominent foreign investment rejections of Chinese companies over the past couple of years. China, though, is very focused on its Belt and Road Initiative, mainly focused on Asia and Central Asia. So its foreign investment overall was up 4.2%, but much of it going to that region and not here. It seems the biggest problem, though, is getting money out of China, with the Chinese government imposing restrictions on foreign investment in particular sectors, and one of those is real estate. But while tougher foreign investment rules, both in Australia and to get the money out of China, are deterring investment in some of those sectors, KPMG's Doug Ferguson, who co-authored the report, says Chinese investment in healthcare and biotech more than doubled last year.
There's been a very significant slowdown in state-owned enterprise investment into Australia's infrastructure and mining assets, and there's also been a significant difficulty in private Chinese companies getting their approvals to get money out of China.
And in terms of where the Chinese investment that is still coming to Australia is going, what is the number one sector at the moment, and has that changed since last year?
Yes, so healthcare has emerged as the number one sector, attracting about 42% of the total from mainly Chinese private companies. And there's been three very large deals over $500 million that have made the difference there.
What were those deals?
So one of them was the acquisition of Certex Medical, which is a liver cancer treatment devices business. And then the other two are Nature's Care and Lifespace Group, which are health supplements and probiotic products. Australia is regarded very highly by the Chinese for its science and technology and the quality of its branded products. So it's become very popular, and again, it's mainly the private Chinese companies that understand the demands of Chinese consumers that's driving this.
That's Doug Ferguson from KPMG. Michael, I think when a lot of people think about Chinese investment here in this country, they think of real estate. What did the KPMG study show about investment in real estate last year?
Yeah, so it doesn't look at individual investments from private citizens, but investment in commercial real estate fell from $4.4 billion in 2017 to $3 billion last year. Now, Doug Ferguson says that's a combination of difficulty getting money out of China, particularly for residential property investors, and also worries about falling prices, and that's why residential investment fell.
There's been a 31% fall in Chinese investors investing in commercial property in Australia in 2018.
And some of those commercial investments do relate to residential developments.
Absolutely. The big area of slowdown has been in residential property development. In fact, in some cases, Chinese developers have been buying other Chinese developers out. Meanwhile, the office sector has still remained fairly active and of interest.
Is that due to any kind of restrictions or taxation measures, or is that really due to the property slowdown in Australia, the falling prices in Sydney and Melbourne, perhaps deterring Chinese investment in those cities?
Yes, so it's definitely related to what's happening in the Australian general property scene, but it's also related to the difficulties of Chinese residential investors in getting their money out to settle on transactions or to buy new apartments here.
So that's cutting demand from Chinese individual consumers and therefore deterring Chinese developers from investing more in the Australian market.
Yes, that's right.
KPMG's Doug Ferguson. So, Michael, here at home, away from China, about halfway through autumn, what's is the latest on the housing markets in Australia's major cities?
Look, it's a pretty similar picture to recent weeks, Fran, which is the preliminary auction clearance rates are in the high 50s nationally, just above 60% in Sydney and just below 60% in Melbourne. That will mean final clearance rates just above 50%, which is down from last year's results in the low 60s. And that tells you house prices are still falling. However, they're falling less than they were at the end of last year. So it'll be interesting to see as the autumn selling season goes on, whether this is the beginning of the bottom or whether there's another leg of falls still to come.
All right. Now, you and I were together last week in Canberra in the budget lockup. We've seen the political polls showing voter reaction to the government's pre-election budget. Pretty positive overall. More people think it's better for them. They're better off than worse off. I think the strongest positive reaction since 2007. Later this week, we're going to get another view though, this time with people's consumer hats on.
That's right. We get the Westpac and Melbourne Institute consumer sentiment figures on Wednesday. The survey is split between responses taken before the budget on Tuesday night and those taken afterwards. So it's a really good snapshot of the reaction and whether people feel the budget will make their personal financial situation better or not. And that gives you a real sense of how it affects them financially. We did see a lot of tax cut plans in the budget.
A lot of talk of those $1,000 checks.
Yeah, well, the biggest winners are those people earning about $90,000 a year who will see just over $1,200 shaved from their tax bill, whoever wins the election. Low-income earners will see about $1.83 a week more from Labor than the Coalition, but that's barely a bus fare,
not even a bus fare in
most of Australia's cities. Whether the tax cuts are enough to make a huge difference, the Commonwealth Bank reckons that from both parties, the tax cuts are equal to about 2 rate cuts from the Reserve Bank. A bit of a boost, but not massive.
As I say, there's 2 published polls today. Both of them seem to show that the government's in the plus when it comes to people seeing they're better off than not from it. What else should we look out for this week, Michael?
The Reserve Bank's Deputy Governor Guy Debelle's giving a speech on the state of the economy in his hometown of Adelaide on Wednesday at lunchtime, and the RBA also follows that up with its half-yearly financial stability review on Friday, which should give us a good idea what the bank thinks about the situation in the Australian economy and whether those tax cuts might help boost things.
Yeah, right. And what about local markets? How are they set to start the week?
Well, look, overseas markets had a very strong week last week, but Australia didn't. The US ended the week with a flourish. The S&P 500 in New York was up 0.5%. That was on very strong US jobs numbers, showing almost 200,000 jobs created, better than expectations. Unemployment in the US still at 3.8%, way lower than the 4.9% we've got in Australia. Some good German industrial production figures as well. So overseas markets, very strong into last week. The Australian futures look like they're going to play catch up. They're up 0.5%. The local market should follow, and the Australian dollar holding at 71 US cents, Fran.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Yander is the ABC's senior digital business reporter.